does a terrific job covering Seattle sports, working the sideline for the Seahawk broadcast, huge part of the Mariner coverage on Roots Sports. She's an author, founder of Talk Sporty to Me. Check that out on Twitter. Use at Talk Sporty to Me. Her Twitter handle is at Jen Talk Sports. Jen Mueller, thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Well, I am excited. It's game week. We're actually talking about real football this week for the Seahawks, and the Mariners are certainly keeping things interesting and giving us stuff to talk about.
You know, while it doesn't have anything to do with how I introduce you, we know how big Husky football is up there. So now the people you hear from, have they stepped away from the high ledges? How would you describe the mood? Because that was a rough one.
It was a rough one, and I'm going to say that I was excited to see Montana perform so well in that game. Root Sports has been covering Big Sky football for the last handful of years, so I have been out to many, many Grizz games as a sideline reporter. So shout out to the Grizz and the Big Sky Conference for a huge win at the beginning of the season. Now, having said that, that was a really disappointing game for Husky fans. And just in general, if you're looking at how well they played in any phase of the game, it was disappointing. I think now they're turning the page, but it doesn't get any easier. They've got a lot of injuries, and they've got a lot of questions that need to be answered. So, yeah, I think Dogs fans are still a little salty. a little salty at this point in the week. We're still kind of early in the week, though.
Yeah, that has to be put in the rear view. I want to talk Mariners. So when we spoke about 6 weeks ago, they were six games over 500, seven behind Houston. Those numbers are better. And, Jen, this team was not expected to be sitting in a pennant race this time of year. Just how impressed have you and, you know, the people you talk with been? Just the grit and resiliency of this team.
You know, it's a fun team to watch because of those two things that you just said, their grit and their resiliency. They have been able to bounce back, and they have been able to pull out close wins, and it's been fun because you can see the belief that they have in each other late in games. And there was a point in the year where early on it's like, well, man, they're not going to generate anything in the ninth inning. Man, send it to extra innings. Boy, I don't know what's going to happen. And now you can tell that they actually believe and they know that they're going to get it done. It is absolutely a fun team to watch. I would agree with you. Most of us who covered the team did not expect them to be in this position, and there is still a long way to go before you make it into the playoffs, but no question, meaningful games in September against playoff teams is hugely important for the development of all these guys.
Talking Mariners with Jen Mueller of Roots Sports. Jen, when the season started, I don't think most people could have picked Chris Flexen out of a lineup. he had three career wins from his Mets days, pitched in Korea last year. You know, he was unbelievable in August. But what about this kind of performance this year? Because he's their hottest starter right now.
No question. Yeah, and Scott Servais has said a couple of times, I don't know where this team would be without Chris Flexen. And he is not the flashy guy. I mean, if you talk to him, he's really low-key. You know, he's not real demonstrative or boisterous. I mean, he is on the mound because he's super intense. But he just kind of goes about his business, and he gets the job done. And, you know, he hasn't had a complete game like Marco Gonzalez. He hasn't, you know, top 99 on the radar gun. But if you look at those numbers, it has just been consistent six innings every time out. And he's what's given that lineup a lot of stability so that you are guaranteed to give the bullpen a little bit of a break and you know exactly what's going to happen. I would say the same thing with Tyler Anderson and making sure that they acquired him in that deal in July. He's really come in and been somebody that the team can count on every 5 days.
And by the way, way to get a duck reference in while you're on Eugene Radio. much respect. Let's move to the Seahawks. Kind of a nervous time in camp with Dwayne Brown not practicing. Now they've come to terms. Pete Carroll says he'll be a go for Indy on Sunday. How big a sigh of relief we talking here, Jen, knowing the big fella's going to protect Wilson's blind side?
Huge. When I walked out there and I saw him on the practice field, boy, everything just feels a little bit better about week one. And for as uncertain as it seemed, it was always a good sign that he was in camp, right? And that
right.
he He wasn't taking the field, but he would go out there every day. He was talking to the young guys. He was participating in meetings and in walkthroughs. So it's not like he hasn't done anything. And, oh, by the way, the guy is still in great shape, so that was never in question. But certainly, look, you've got to face a ton of tough defenses. In general, week one defense tends to be ahead of any offense. That's just generally around the league, right? Because it's not quite as complicated on that side of the ball. You don't want to be down a Pro Bowl left tackle and facing a defense that's chomping at the bit, right? The other part of this is the Seahawks still have not unveiled their full offensive package, right? We've seen a little bit of it in the preseason, not nearly as much as you're going to see coming up on Sunday. You want somebody in there because it's going to take a few weeks to work the kinks out, and there's going to be some improvisation. And when you have Dwayne there on the left side, boy, that settles everybody down.
Well, you kind of read my mind because I wanted to talk about Brian Schottenheimer in Jacksonville, and now Shane Waldron is the offensive coordinator coming over from the Rams. I mean, we know the kind of arsenal Russell has at his disposal. Now the offensive line, more stability. So, Jen, what's kind of the buzz about how the guys have taken to Coach Waldron and what this attack could be capable of?
They love kind of the freedom in the play calling and how they can do things, right? So I've heard one of our other analysts, Michael Bumpus, who played at WSU, wide receiver and former Seahawks wide receiver, say things like it's like a bending offense, right? You don't break a route off, you bend it. There's a lot of flexibility, almost kind of like having a lot of option routes, right? Like, I just need you to get to that space on the field. I don't care how you get there, I just need you to get there. Now, you're going to see a lot of the same formations at the line of scrimmage, but within those groupings, the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs are going to go into different places all over the field. What I'm trying to get to is when you have rules that look like what this offense is playing with, you have got to be in sync. You have to be on the same page. You almost have to be to the point where you are reading each other's minds, because it is so much more of a feel thing. Now, Brian Schottenheimer is much more of kind of the traditional play caller, right? And it's rules mean, you know, you're running 8 yards and then you're cutting in a hard two, right? Like there's different rules in that system too. I think that they are enjoying having some freedom and knowing they are going to confuse a lot of defenses just by the looks they present at the line of scrimmage, the tempo that they utilize, and the freedom they have within the play call.
Couple final thoughts for Jen Mueller, Root Sports, sideline reporter for the Seahawks. Early last year, a lot of concern about getting to the quarterback. They made moves. They got Carlos Dunlap and actually ended up top 10 in sacks. We have now round three, I think it is, of Al Woods back in his Seattle uniform.
Yep.
So what's the word from Coach Carroll and Ken Norton about the capability of this group getting to the opposing quarterback?
They love the depth up front of this group. And you've got a newcomer in Daryl Taylor who was on the roster last year, but he was hurt. He missed the entire year. They have transitioned his position a little bit from what you thought when he was drafted. He is coming off the edge. He is coming hard, and it looks great when he is part of that pass rush. You've got Benson Mayoa in there. You got Kerry Hyder in the offseason. There's some guys in there who can get to the quarterback, and whether it shows up in sacks or whether it's hurries or whether it's breakups, or they are going to be a very active group up front. And then, of course, you have Jamal Adams as that X factor, which I realize is an odd name to throw in there when you just asked me about the front five and the front seven, but you don't know where he's coming from on the field. And that, like, unknown is, boy, that is going to torment a lot of opposing offenses. It's going to be fun to watch.
Last thought, general feeling. I mean, we know Coach Carroll is the king of upbeat, and with he and John Schneider at the helm, with Russ Wilson as quarterback, why not? We know the Tampa Bay, Green Bay, the Rams with Stafford are going to be tough. But, Jen, from your chair, how comfy are you saying, look, once November, December rolls around, I really think this team's going to be right in the thick of the NFC picture?
Yeah, I don't know why I wouldn't think that. And for as much as we talk about the Seahawks' deficiencies, This is a team that won 12 games last year. This is a team whose pass rush did not come on until after the bye week in the middle of the season. It's a team whose offense didn't click down the stretch, and you still made it into the playoffs, and you still won 12 games. If you think about what you've got now and the continuity that you've been able to build by having Jamal Adams in practice and by having all these guys together, it is a tough division. There is no doubt about that. But it would be silly to think that Seattle is not going to be right there in contention. You mentioned it. It's Russell Wilson. It's Pete Carroll. It's Jamal Adams. And it's Chris Carson. I mean, like, if you've got playmakers like that, you're going to be in the mix. And I didn't even mention DK. I would be so – Seahawks fans are going to be so upset. I didn't even mention DK, Tyler Lockett, and the speedster D. Eskridge.
Oh, those guys, right. Yeah.
I don't know why it's taken so long to mention their names in this conversation. Jeez, that's my bad.
All right, we're going to let you off the hook this time because, folks, she's Jen Mueller. Always great insight, information, and, of course, the love for what she does. Part of the Root Sports Mariner coverage, working the sidelines for the Seahawks. On Twitter, use the handle at JenTalkSports. Jen, always fun. Greatly appreciate your time. Wishing you and yours well, and obviously look forward to catching up again down the road.
All right, we'll talk again soon.
All right, take care.